This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Dream Team back together again with a voice crack to start us over. What a beautiful time to be alive. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you back here. Money Moves live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. How much did you miss this the last 2 days?
Quite a bit, just because I've been very busy the last couple of days. Unlike some people, I don't just get to go and gallivant off and take time off. I won't be here on Monday and Tuesday, by the way. So it was a very busy couple of days, and I do a lot, you know? I had Pod to the Futures on Tuesday morning. I had College Football Betting Podcast on Wednesday morning. We still had our duties here at the Vegas Stats and Information Network to host Money Moves. I have a local show that I like to do from 3 to 6. So there is no rest in any way, shape, or form.
Except for, again, Monday and Tuesday, which I will definitely open the show talking about how you are gallivanting.
Who's with you on Monday and Tuesday?
John Jastrzemski.
So you have somebody with you. Okay.
Yes, because I feel like that makes the show better.
Exactly.
Just listening to you for 2 hours, kill me. Let's start the show, though, with a little baseball, because we do have three games in action as we speak, and it could be a day for the dogs, the way things are trending here early. Your beloved Angels, who closed a plus 170 dog, up 3-1 in the top of the fifth against the Orioles. The A's and Reds tied at 3 right now in the bottom of the fifth, and the Mets up 5-2 in Cleveland over the Guardians. They closed a plus 114 dog there as well. We do have two set to get underway in the next 20 minutes or so. Anything stand out to you in either Pirates, Brewers, or Blue Jays, Cubs this morning?
Yeah, a couple of things here. First of which is I'll comment on the Mets Guardians series just briefly and say that, isn't it funny? I thought the Guardians were one of the winners at the trade deadline with what they did, and then they come out here and they might get swept by the New York Mets. Funny how that works. But of these ones, it's hard not to gravitate. Go ahead.
Also, just real quickly, I know there's a lot of social media contention around Jeffrey Yan and what he did yesterday on the mound. Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was fun.
Dude, of course. It's
first time that you're playing Major League Baseball, you get in a strikeout, celebrate it, buddy. Let's go.
That's what he does all the time.
Yes.
Yes.
Going back to the minors, everything.
And then, of course, there was a bunch of old men that were like, you know, back in the day, this is why the DH is such a bad idea, because if he came up, then he would have learned properly that he couldn't do those things. Like, shut up.
It's the fun police.
Yes.
Move on.
It's absolutely insane. But Blue Jays and Cubs has to be, I think, the center of attention for us here coming up at 11:20 for multiple reasons. First off, Dylan Cease, again, on the mound for the Blue Jays, has been nearly untouchable so far this season in contention for American League Cy Young. His last two starts, we had a complete game shutout, of course, on the road against the Boston Red Sox, in which he struck out 12, walked 3. Then he followed that up with 6 innings, 7 strikeouts, 3 walks, and 1 earned run. Has been absolutely unreal over his last 15 innings. And if you stretch it back a little bit more, in 4 out of his last 5 starts, he has allowed no more than 1 earned run in an outing, and he has pitched 6-plus in every single one of those outings. So Cease has been in unreal form at this point right now. Blue Jays are actually starting to turn some things around. Big win for them yesterday. I got that wrong. Laid the run line with the Houston Astros. They go up 3-0, end up losing the game. But Cease has been unreal. The Blue Jays are playing well. And on the other side of this equation, you have the Chicago Cubs coming fresh off of a sweep of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And now a guy who could potentially or is potentially the favorite to win the National League Cy Young. I was looking at a pick, minus ways both sides. What are we looking at with the most current price?
Minus 120. Shohei even money.
So we
Pete
have Crow now
Armstrong, ladies and germs.
Yep. And this goes back to, if you remember, I brought this up yesterday. We'll invoke it one more time. We talked about this with Mike Palm on Friday, which was the thought of betting Shohei Ohtani. And my contention was, oh, you can do it, but just wait. Because the way these awards markets work, Pete Crow Armstrong is going to be the odds on favorite at some point, just because the market's going to freak out about something. And sure enough, market freaked out yesterday. And Pete Crow Armstrong was great yesterday, but Shohei Ohtani also hit 2 bombs, and it's not like he was awful.
They both went yard twice.
Yeah, so I think that it's a little bit of prisoner of the moment to leap him up to the status of favorite. But how many times have we talked about this from the awards perspective? But narratively, from a betting perspective, there's so much that I think ties into this Blue Jays-Cubs game that I am very interested to be tracking it throughout our time here on the air.
I did actually place a bet on this. I took the Cubs as a dog. I totally understand everything that you're saying about Dylan Cease, and he's been unbelievable, especially recently. But this Cubs lineup has been pretty darn good this year as well. Top 5 in just about every major offensive category. Top 3 in OPS and RBI. 5th in slugging. They also lead the league in walk rate, which I think is an important thing specifically against Dylan Cease, because if he has one Achilles heel, that's probably it at this point. Walked at least 3 batters starters, three of his last four starts, walked as many as five in a single game this year. And there's potential, I think, that could play a factor in this one. Blue Jays bats, meanwhile, on the other side, have not been there at all. Fewest RBI in the sport, worst on base percentage, worst WOBA and expected WOGA, second worst slugging, 19th in average. This is a lineup that has not been able to deliver. From a pitching standpoint, David Peterson for the Cubs has strung together a few really nice starts of his own at this point. The bullpen's pretty much even out, and the Cubs have the best defense in the sport. So I ended up taking a little bit of a flyer on the Cubs at Wrigley at a plus 105.
Just worth pointing out, I don't know how much you buy into home road splits. He's got a sub-2 ERA. Dylan Cease does on the road. The FIP is actually floating around like 226, so he's been pitching very well away from home, and they've won five straight Cease road starts. So whatever reason, and it's not like he's been terrible in Toronto, but he has pitched better away from home. Either way, it's going to be a great start, or it's going to be a great game. And Your point, I think, is a really important one. You know, the other day when you were gone, we talked about Jared Jones for the Pirates, and one of the little intricacies of his matchup with the Brewers the other day was one of the things, despite Jared Jones pitching very well, was the fact that he's not getting hitters, to chase out of the zone. Well, one of the best lineups in Major League Baseball in terms of not swinging on pitches outside of the zone and in walk rate, the Milwaukee Brewers, they didn't beat him up, but they got him for 3 runs, and he was a lot more mortal in that start than he had been in the previous 6. So matchups do matter, and a Cubs team like this might be able to get to Cease.
That's a game we'll definitely be keeping tabs on throughout the course of the next couple hours. And as we set the table for the show today, we're actually kicking the rundown off with baseball, so let's get it going.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is the Rundown.
There will be 6 more games later on in the afternoon that we will preview as well. But how about this Fenway frenzy we have going on? Your Red Sox enter the finale of a 3-game set with the White Sox tonight, riding a 7-game win streak, and just had a 9th straight series win with their second dub against the Sox yesterday. They have won 30 of their last 35 games, JVT, and for a franchise that dates back to the early 1900s, this is the best stretch they've had in the organization's history.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, we'll talk about the game today, but we focus so much around the National League in terms of, we've talked about the NL Cy Young, we've talked about National League MVP. One thing we should talk about is the American League Cy Young race. We just mentioned Sonny Gray yesterday, 6 innings pitched, just 3 hits, strikes out 8, doesn't give up an earned run. He has been one of the big drivers behind this stretch for the Boston Red Sox. He performs again yesterday, so I can't wait to talk a little bit more about this game and this Red Sox as a whole. We brought this up on Monday or Tuesday when you were here, but I think it actually is time to buy now on the Red Sox. But we did get some news in the American League, which we can hit on a little bit later.
We're also going to have a little fun with Good Bet or Live to Regret, college football edition. Pretty self-explanatory, but going to look at some college football futures plays. I'll ask JVT if he thinks it's a good bet or one that you should, if you put it in the account, will live to regret by the end of the season. This is highly curated, by the way, to you for the most part.
Speaking of living to regret, how are we feeling? You're wearing the Lobo red pants today.
I don't want to talk about it.
How are you feeling?
I don't want to talk about it.
We talked about this yesterday. The news came down during the show. New Mexico quarterback with the torn up elbow ligament that I had warned about. By the way, in the college football betting guide, you read about there first. News yesterday that Lane's going to be out for the foreseeable future.
And what did I text you back yesterday? Can't wait for him to get healthy just in time to get waxed by Oklahoma's defense.
You might be getting in a little bit. Actually, this might be a good thing because they got this Oregon transfer who's a little bit of a dual threat. I think actually might be better.
Ooh, that's an interesting take. Well, we'll see early on a couple of quote-unquote cupcakes to start the season before that game against the Sooners, so we'll see what that looks like. But we will kick things off talking NFL because football is back, ladies and gentlemen. Lots of news and notes coming out of training camps, of course. We'll hit on early thoughts for Week 1 lines today, but we have a game today to discuss. We're kicking off the preseason with the Hall of Fame game out there in Canton. Panthers, Cardinals, thought this would be the first time that we saw Jeremiah Smith in action. Unfortunately, that's not the case. He will not play today.
Jeremiah Love.
Yeah, see, geez. Just like the other day when we were talking about Jeremiah Smith, and I think I said Julian Sain. We're getting all the things mixed up. But yes, Jeremiah Love will not be out there today, unfortunately. From a quarterback standpoint, we're going to start things out with Kenny Pickett and Carson Beck. Pickett only going to play a series or two. Expect a heavy dose of undrafted free agent Haynes King out there, and a Carolina team that's already been pretty banged up in camp. They're laying 1.5, 1, depending on where you look right now.
I kind of like it. Look, I mean, based on really nothing, it's preseason, it's variance, it's nothing. But, I mean, if I'm to believe reports about Carson Beck, who, since they put the pads on, has been playing extremely well in training camp, according to some out there in Arizona, I'd be curious to see how he's going to operate here. You mentioned the injuries that the Panthers are going through, too. So maybe a little bit more of a bland vanilla and deeper rotation in terms of who they're going to use out there. But if Beck's been playing as well as he has, would expect that maybe you're going to have a pretty good opportunity here if he's going to play a majority of this game. And I've seen some footage. I mean, he's put out some pretty good tape out there. It's like three throws, but still, he's played pretty well.
Let's take a listen to his offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, on what he wants to see from Beck tonight.
Without a doubt. I mean, you can call perfect play versus perfect coverage, and something can go wrong. I mean, who knows? There's a lot of people out there, a lot of human error that goes on in every single football play. And if it's good, again, we don't want him to get too excited. It's still a long game, and he'll have a lot of opportunity out there. And then, obviously, like you said, when something bad happens, you know, if I don't even want to say the things that can, but you know, anything that might bad happen on an offensive football play, how do you respond the next play? You know, if you lose yardage, you know, are you excited about the opportunity next? Are you next play, or are you thinking about that last one and letting it affect that next play? I mean, that's a huge mental part of our game, especially at that position.
And obviously coming off a career season at Miami as well. In terms of the depth chart, Jacoby Brissett is your QB1. Gardner Minshew also in the room. But you have to imagine if somebody's going to get an opportunity this season, it's going to be Beck, which is why he's somebody that you were looking at as a potential offensive rookie of the year.
Don't you want to see what you have in Gardner Minshew? You don't have enough. We don't have enough run on Gardner Minshew. We don't know what
That's
he is.
That's your favorite phrase.
Jacoby Brissett. Don't you want to see what you have in him? But I mean, I'm you know me. He should be the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
And it's not even that I think he's the best one. Again, if I'm a team in the position of the Arizona Cardinals, what am I trying to do? I want to see what if you have something? Mm-hmm. Go and let him run. Let's see. But we'll find out. I would expect that, again, your point, I do think he's a dark horse for Offensive Rookie of the Year because I do think there's a chance that they're going to be off to a really rough start and they're just going to say, let's see what you got, kid.
We will talk a little bit more about this game on the other side because there's one other soundbite I know you were dying to play.
I was.
So we'll give our thoughts on the spread and total when we come back. But we're just getting started here on Money Moves. There's so much more to get to, especially in the NFL. Another running back deal got done overnight, although it is not the Jahmyr Gibbs one. We'll talk about your team a little bit. And the Super Bowl favorites, could they get even better in short order? We'll discuss. Stick around. More Money Moves coming up after this on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Circus Survivor documentary is heating up, and this week's episode is called Survival Mode. Week 10 arrives like an absolute wrecking ball, a massive wave of elimination tearing through the field, and the players who thought they had it all figured out suddenly don't. Thanksgiving's on the horizon, and the wrong call won't just cost the contestants a game. It'll cost them everything. 18.7 mil on the line. Watch the next episode Wednesday at 9 Eastern right here on VSiN. And if you're playing catch-up, remember all of the episodes after they air are available on YouTube. Right now, all you need to do is search VSiN Live. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you back here in downtown Las Vegas at Circuit Resort and Casino. And as we are all geared up for football season, we got our first preseason game getting set for tonight at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium out there in Canton. Panthers, Cardinals going head-to-head. And I do just want to reset this again really quickly. I know we talked about it off the top of the show, but the Panthers laying 1.5 points, one depending on the book you look at. Total here sitting 35.5. I mentioned in passing some of the injuries for Carolina that they've been going through, but this is pretty significant early already for them. They lose their young edge rusher, Nick Scorton, to a torn ACL on the very first day of camp. Chris Brazel, the rookie wide receiver they got in the third round, he's done for the year before his season begins. And what's most notable for us tonight is both of their starting tackles are out, which means the backup tackles on both sides are now your starters, who also aren't going to play today because Dave Canales is sitting all of the starters. Also, under Dave Canales, the Panthers have not had success in the preseason. 0-6 against the spread, just 1-5 straight up to this point. And we'll see for the majority of the game, we think, at least, it's going to be Haynes King.
That, and I think your first point about the trend of Canales and what he's done in the preseason, I think this is the time where trends will matter to an extent. We can go back to the Harbaugh time when he was really taking the preseason seriously, couldn't lose, was always covering numbers. Maybe we'll see that again this year with the New York Giants. We'll see if that's the case. But you know, we know that some of these guys, coaches, tend to not take some of these preseason games seriously, don't have a desire to win, will show nothing, will play no one. And Canales, at least early on in his tenure, it seems to be that that is going to be the case. Now, the flip side of that, which I'm going to be interested to see, and I put it a little bit later in the rundown, we can mention it now since we're talking about this, Zach Taylor mentioned to the media yesterday that he will play his starters next week for the Cincinnati Bengals. It's going to be pretty interesting because we know how this team has stunk to begin seasons for the most part. You mentioned it last year. They started 2-0, if I remember correctly. But it seems that comments, Taylor saying that starters are going to play, reading between the lines that the Bengals are very much dying to get off to a pretty good start, and I think would include the preseason as well.
This is one of those times, too, in the preseason where we actually do have the benefit of learning the plan for the most part from a lot of these coaches. They're not hiding things. It's not gamesmanship. They're going to tell us who's going to start and who's not more often than not for these games. I did want to play this soundbite real quickly from Haynes King discussing the mobile element that he brings to his game.
Yes, just like you said it. I mean, your legs are going to be one of the answers in preseason games with a lot of different groups, a lot of guys rotating. Stuff happens. And, you know, I'm not prepared to take off and run every play, but, you know, I'm going to go through my progressions and just kind of play football, play smart football. And if it, you know, means for me to take off and run, I'm going to do it. Or if it means for me to, you know, extend the play and try to get a big pass down the field, then I'm going to do that. Just at the end of the day and try and play quarterback.
It's what we talked about. I brought this up to you. We've talked about it here. The mobility and having some guys on the back end of your depth chart that can move. And that was actually the setup to the question there to King was, hey, the offensive line is going to rotate. You're going to see a lot of different bodies in front of you. That can mean some pretty poor play. You know, what does your mobility add to this, right? And that's what the answer was. So just a point of, and we're right when we talk about those sort of things, at the very least, having a guy like a Haynes King or anybody else that's on the back end of your quarterback depth chart that can extend plays and avoid some pressure is going to be very important for preseason success.
You have any lean for the game?
Cardinals. Just because, again, I think Beck is probably going to be pretty solid. Beck's not a statue, but he's not the most mobile, so I think that might work against me once you get to these bad offensive lines. You know, and grander theory really quickly, maybe I'm too online, which is a potential.
Which is absolutely
possible.
True.
Have you seen a lot of these videos of the Cardinals training camp, like lowlights?
Not really. Not
so a lot has been going online of just how bad it has looked for the Arizona Cardinals, and a lot of footage of drop passes and fumbles and interceptions. And, you know, a lot of people already expect that the Cardinals are going to be really, really bad. And this is just a wild theory. So we'll see if that actually comes to fruition, whether it's preseason or end of the season. But there seems to be this really building narrative. And I think it started with the hire of LaFleur, because I don't think many people were a big Mike LaFleur, right? Okay, thank you. But I don't think a lot of people were excited about the Mike LaFleur hire. And so the premise I'm with is this starts similar to the start of the Sirianni tenure in Philadelphia, Gannon early on when he was at Arizona, which was a lot of people just mocking the hire, didn't like a speech, and then subsequently find everything possible to point to this team as them being bad. I just wonder if we're maybe going a little too far with some of this. And these teams at the bottom are never really as bad as we expect them to be. So whether this manifests in the preseason or whether it manifests in the regular season, be curious to see if maybe the Cardinals are a team worth buying on a bit on a week-to-week basis. They can't be that bad. They're 10. We're going to talk about week one lines. They're 10.5, 11-point dogs for the Chargers in week one. This is an NFL team.
Yep. They are the biggest favorite for the fewest wins in the NFL this season, lowest win total of any team in the NFL at 3.5. And we will discuss that week one line as well as the entire slate coming up for week one later on in the show. But we did get a running back deal done yesterday. We obviously already knew the Bijan Robinson news. Everybody's waiting for Jahmyr Gibbs. Instead, we get Jonathan Taylor to your Colts. A new two-year, $44 million extension worth up to $47 million, includes $39 million guaranteed. It is the largest third contract ever for a running back from an APY standpoint, puts him just behind Bijan Robinson. Now, so you give Daniel Jones the extension, you sign Alec Pierce to the big money deal, and now you get Jonathan Taylor done. They're buying on their stars. Are you buying on the Colts?
No, come on.
I know. I already know the answer.
By the way, Alec Pierce, is he going to be ready?
I don't think so.
That's it. I mean, come on now. So that's, again, I would just keep going back to, it's not like the market has a ton of confidence in this team, but there are so many, if you really, and I don't even think you need to dig under the hood, as I use the cliche all the time. If you just look, you can see that there are so many signs for this team to hit the floor. Maybe, again, not as bad as they did, but still, You were with me every Sunday. We talked about it all the time, especially right around that time where Jones suffered the initial leg injury and everything. What was the thing we kept talking about was, you know, I just don't think this is sustainable. Yep. They're going to at some point come back down, and they did in a really hard way. And now you have Pierce, who is injured and might not be ready to start the season. You have Daniel Jones, who's coming off of an Achilles injury. I just don't really buy it. And there were so many unsustainable numbers. You know, pressure to sack rate was insanely low. There were so many different things that if you just looked at it over the course of like a 5-game sample size, you were like, they're just not going to be able to keep doing that. And I just think that this is going to be a lot worse than the market expects. And I say that because they're sitting at 7.5, and I just think that maybe 6.5, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic, but you know me. Under on the Colts, and I think that our Titans have a pretty good shot to finish ahead of them in this AFC South.
I'm still bitter about the rushing leader and the offensive player of the year and MVP possibilities for Jonathan Taylor last year that didn't come to fruition.
Remember after that Germany game? He was -280 to win Offensive Player of the Year.
Yep.
He didn't even sniff it. Did he come in fifth on the ballot? Not even.
Crushed my soul. Yeah. But we were still playing the waiting game for Jahmyr Gibbs. As soon as that deal comes down, we'll see if he resets the market or not. We're also playing the waiting game in L.A. as Aaron Donald seems more and more poised to make his return. His name appeared on the NFL's transaction wire yesterday as a player taking in a tryout. Here's his head coach, Sean McVay, when asked about the 3-time Defensive Player of the Year.
I couldn't help but note, like, right before we started, so I hope you're even aware of this, like, the NFL transaction wire had Aaron Donald working out with the Rams today, which I guess...
Did it come across as a tryout?
It did come across as
a tryout that we've ever had.
Okay. You think he could make the team?
Phenomenal.
I think he could make the team.
The kid's okay. Got a shot.
Yeah. No, that was honestly our way of being able to get a workout with him within the, you know, parameters of what's necessary, but... Giff Smith said it's the greatest tryout he's ever had.
Great football coach. I don't know if Sean would be the best poker player in the world when
I'd be
he's
terrible
talking about
at that.
Aaron Donald. But
yeah, you know what? I've never claimed to be a good poker player either.
You've got plenty to do here. Appreciate the time,
Thanks
Sean.
Thanks for having me,
Thanks,
Greg.
Sean. Thanks for coming on.
That's McVay with Greg Rosenthal and Jordan Rodrigue of the NFL Daily Podcast. So there's no more if in my mind if Aaron Donald comes back anymore. He's going to play for the Rams this year. It's just a matter of, so after making the trade for Myles Garrett, we saw their odds jump like crazy at the top of the odds board to win the Super Bowl, +550. The next closest shots are the Ravens and Bills at 10-1. Are they that significant of a favorite in your mind?
Probably not that significant. I think when we always talk about favorites, you can always quibble with how big of a favorite they are. Because remember, liability is always part of this. You're going to get a lot of tickets on that team, or you want to avoid at least building that up. So you're going to probably shorten them a little bit more than they should. And look, I'll be a Debbie Downer for just a moment. What's the, you know, the SNL bit? Like, my man's 35, hasn't played football in, 2 years? The expectation that he's just going to come out here and be the same guy, I think I would pump the brakes on that. The NFL, he was and possibly could be, I will say possibly, a dominant force at his position. We know that. But that is a long layoff for a guy that is 35 in a very physical sport. And these are all pretty good athletes around him, too.
I think once you get the swing of the season, I don't think it's going to take a long time for him to ramp back up to being maybe not the peak of his powers, but playing opposite a guy like Myles Garrett, still pretty darn good, no?
I mean, pretty darn good is one thing, but what I'm saying is how he's going to be rated and how the Rams subsequently are going to get rated once and if he comes back. I mean,
I don't know, man.
I would say that I would pump the brakes a little bit.
I think that defense is going to be pretty awesome.
Well, that's, I think, yes.
We got to step aside here on Money Moves. When we come back, excited to have Jeff Sherman join the program. A week in now to the new digs here at Circa as we head behind the counter. Stick around.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're fired up on a Thursday edition of Money Moves live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, SiriusXM Channel 158, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel back here with you. And I don't know how many times I'm going to say it over the course of the next month, but football is back, ladies and gentlemen. We have already talked a good bit this morning about the first preseason game of the year getting underway tonight, the Hall of Fame game between the Panthers and Cardinals. We're going to talk week one lines in the NFL a little bit later on, and very excited here to go behind the counter a little bit early with Jeff Sherman, who joins us on the Progressive guest line, Circa Sports senior risk manager. And week one into the job, and you've already got your hands full, I am sure, with everything getting set for football.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's the month that everything starts ramping up. So
You do it from football. You see the NBA wins and things like that. So it's that time of year to gear up.
In your past history, you know, obviously behind the counter, Jeff, how much will a Hall of Fame game do, given the standalone nature at night being our first taste of football?
Well, that's just it, being standalone and the first one, you'll get a lot of action, a lot of people tying it up in parlays and such. So you've seen a little bit movement on the side and the total for tonight's game, but it'll be in a lot of tickets throughout the day today.
And when you guys move numbers, how quickly will you move on respected action? And I mean, obviously, preseason games are information-based, so I would assume not only will you move quickly, but will those moves be a little bit more aggressive, considering there might be some information out there that you guys don't know about? What's that process like?
Oh, no question about it. You'll see a lot more aggressive moves during the preseason than you ever will during the regular season, unless it is like a week 18, a last week game where players are found to be sitting out. But these preseason moves, we have to be aggressive and try to get to the number first, or else you're going to get piled on.
Where do you guys sit right now on tonight's game?
Got the Panthers as a 1-point favorite, and it went that way after it was announced Carson Beck was going to start for the Cardinals, so pick to one. Some sharp money came in on the total under. It had been moving from 35 to 35 and a half back to 35, and then the 35's dissipated, and it's down to 34 right now on the total. Mm.
The disrespect for my guy Carson Beck. I feel like the market should have a little bit more respect for him, but that's neither here nor there.
They're moving in favor of him. They were excited. Went from 1.5 to 1.
What are you talking about? But he went to Carolina. Carson
Carolina was a 1.5 point favorite.
I'm looking at Carolina.
Well, we went from Panthers pick to Panthers one based on the Beck move.
Okay.
So now there's 1.5 showing up. So it is going against Beck.
Yeah, come on now. Don't come after me.
Sorry, forgive me. I had seen this 1.5 most places.
No,
I had seen this 1.5 most places. Mm-hmm. And so when I heard them at one, I was like, oh, okay, that means they're actually getting a little love from Carson Beck. Sorry.
Anyway, all right. So let's talk preseason in general, too, because with the preseason getting started today, obviously in full next week. So I'm just curious, you know, more of like of a process thing, Jeff. How do you guys like start the process of hanging some of these numbers when you're looking at some of these preseason squads? When will numbers go up here at Circa for week one of the preseason?
Next Monday they'll go up, and you'll start to see that on the marketplace. And, you know, one of the things you have to consider, too, is 3 really isn't a key number in the preseason because teams don't want to go to overtime. So you're going to see 1 and 2 more valuable numbers when you're playing these preseason games. But like you mentioned earlier, these numbers are going to move fast and fluidly, and you're going to see numbers that really aren't the key numbers that you're going to have to hold on to and not cut through. So you'll see a lot of large moves next Monday, right when the numbers come out.
Speaking of numbers moving, just a general curiosity with training camp as it's going on. I know when we see some of these injuries or news about a quarterback coming back, the immediate thought is in the futures market, what this means for a team. But how quickly do you guys also have to be for the week one early season lines to make sure that those are caught? Like, which is the priority as a bookmaker or somebody behind the counter? Is it the futures or is it the game by game?
It's really a slice of everything. I mean, you try to take – it's just like having a derivative market where you have first quarter, first half in a basketball or football game and the game line moves. You really have to take into account everything you have up for it. So it'll be week one, any advanced lines you have up, season wins, make the playoffs, all the way to the title. And so you just take everything into account and make sure you have your bases covered.
We were talking earlier, Jeff, about these head coaches, and sometimes they do have some trends that are pretty strong in the preseason. Canales is one that has not covered a number, correct, Stormy, as a coach in the preseason. We know that Harbaugh in his time in Baltimore, Jeff, was one of those guys as well. How much do you factor those trends in, and will you guys again be somewhat strong on Harbaugh as he starts a new era with the Giants?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a little bit less last year with him, but, you know, that is stuff we will definitely look at. And that's what we're going to look at over the next week before we get to week one and start putting those notes together. So you look at trends that you've seen from previous coaches, and that's one thing to definitely take into account.
Like I said, we're going to look a little bit deeper into some of the early week one lines for the National Football League coming up in the second hour of the program. Have you guys seen any movement on those week one lines, or was there a game or two in particular that stood out to you personally?
We have seen some movement, most notably the Wednesday night opening night game, the Patriots Seahawks. That one had opened 5.5 on Seattle. We're down to 3.5. So that's a pretty large move before the season starts on that one. But there's been a lot of sharp play up and down the board. We've seen Minnesota at home against Green Bay go from pick to Minnesota 1.5 locally here. The Raiders have gone up from 3 to 3.5 against Miami, but you've seen a lot of half 1 point moves on the board, which you see every year because there's so much time and information, and obviously people have differing opinions on where these numbers might settle. So you'll see that movement way before we get to the first week.
So Stormy brought up futures. One thing that is looming over the league, it would seem, is the potential return of Aaron Donald. What does that do for you for the Los Angeles Rams if he were to indeed rejoin Los Angeles?
Well, it's done a lot for the bettors out there because they still keep betting the Rams. We're down to 9-2 on them. And the thing you have to remember about this, you know, not knowing what type of impact, but it's the perception of it. And that's what people are putting their money behind. So if he were to come back, you're going to see a reaction in the marketplace. So I would anticipate it goes down maybe just over 4-1, but the money will keep coming in, and it's just the perception of people wanting to be involved in a team that is adding to what they already have.
Well, a team that won a Super Bowl just a couple years ago, the Philadelphia Eagles, there's been a lot of talk about the new-look offense with Sean Mannion this year and getting Jalen Hurts a little bit more under center, getting back to the run game for him as a quarterback runner, and Saquon Barkley back to the guy he was the year that they won the Super Bowl. Are people buying what the Eagles are selling with this new-look offense?
Not too much yet. I mean, they're sitting out at 20-1 and not too much movement on the week one number, sitting at Eagles -4 against the Commanders. So really nothing overwhelming in relation to the other teams that we've seen.
Jeff, who's your lowest power rated team personally in the NFL?
I'd have to think it's Arizona. I mean, it's just, it was pretty funny, that video that came out yesterday of them look like an abomination out there and just dropping passes and missing things. And you know, they're the double-digit underdog in week one, the only one out there. You know, until we can see something positive. But, you know, when you get a number like that, we did see some sharp money on the Cardinals plus 11. So you tend to see, especially early in the season, the sharp players taking the large dog who is perceived to be very bad and going with the points until we actually see what transpires on the field.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, and that's kind of my theory going into the season, is I feel like the market might be a little lower on Arizona than I am. I think they're the worst team in the NFL, but maybe we're too low. Who is the second worst team in the NFL by your mark, and what is the distance between them and Arizona?
Well, you'd have to think it'd be Miami at this point, especially looking at the season win totals. But if they were to play on a neutral, I mean, maybe Miami won. I mean, it's not going to be too much of a difference down there, especially – you know, when you're talking about just how poor these two teams are relative to everybody else. So Arizona, you know, they're the ones that I believe, if you look at advanced lines, that they're not going to be anywhere near a favorite the whole season. So it's going to be a rough one for them.
Jeff, thank you so much for the insight today. We look forward to having you on more and more frequently in the flesh in studio here at Circa.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
What? Jeff Sherman, everybody. What's up?
We still have 90 seconds. You don't want to talk about the Suns signing Dylan Brooks to a 3-year, $37 million
for $17 million extension? I'm going to pass on that one this time, but I do want to remind you all, with the preseason action getting underway with football.
29-30.
What?
They signed him through 29-30. It's a big deal.
Huge. Tell me more about the FIBA roster. But with the preseason now officially underway as of today, this is a good reminder that you need to sign up for contests now, because the real games will be here before you know it. Book the trip to Vegas while you can. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service if you are somebody getting involved in these contests. Remember, yes, you do need to be in person for your registration, but Winner Circle Proxy will handle all of the weekly submissions each and every week, so you can make your picks from anywhere in the country. One trip to Vegas, play all season long. You can schedule your appointment now over at WinnerCircleProxy.com. That's WinnerCircleProxy.com.
I mean, if you care, at the FIBA under 18 Eurobasket, it does sound like this kid from Germany, Lukai Anderson, has been performing pretty well. Maybe rising up some draft boards, if that really does matter, you know?
Of course, you pulled it up. Meanwhile,
Leonard Kroger, too, out of Germany, has been pretty solid.
I was going to use this time to see if we could dial in a date to get our contest entries in together, but clearly don't want to talk about that. And we've got the music telling us that we've got to go to the commercial break. So, wait, more important things?
Mm-hmm.
You're tripping, boo. We got to step aside here on Money Moves. When we come back on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, to Major League Baseball we go. A handful of games still set to get underway later on in the action. We'll give you some score updates as well. Stick around.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
20 leagues, one mission, Just Win Bets, baby, is your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They're breaking down the data so you can bet with confidence across the entirety of the sports calendar. If you are watching on YouTube TV or the VSiN Watch app, make sure you scan the QR code you'll see on your screen here, or head over to justwinbetsbaby.com. Start betting smarter today with Just Win Bets, baby. The name says it all. One of those 20 leagues, by the way, Major League Baseball, in action already this morning, five games underway. A couple score updates for you. The Angels, who closed a plus 170 underdog, up 4-1 right now in the top of the seventh in Baltimore. Reds up 6-3 on the A's. A tight one in the bottom of five between the Mets and Guardians. Don't call it a comeback. Cleveland trailing by one now. And then in the two games that started since we have gotten on the air, 1-0 scores early in both of those matchups. The Brew Crew up 1-0 at home over the Pirates, and the Blue Jays got on the board first against the Cubs. Not ideal. David Peterson already getting hit a bit for my Cubs money line play here. Gave up one run on three hits through two. Cease was perfect in the first, and we'll see how this top of the second still plays out.
Got through it. Good job.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. So we're out of there. 1-0 where things sit right now.
Correct.
You feeling any type of way during the commercial break? You were talking about the Guardians. I feel like I thought you had something maybe more to add about the baseball slate to this point.
No,
you're so boring.
What are you talking about? I've been watching. We've been talking with Jeff Sherman about football and all these sort of things. So I apologize.
Well, let's look ahead to the rest of the day.
But now I'm just going to watch baseball and not pay attention.
You're just going to look at that screen the entire time. Thankfully, we're in commercial break over there for the Cubs game.
Yeah,
so I have
Barkley
hope that you might pay attention.
Slept two giant boxes and then jumped on top of the uprights for this commercial for DirecTV.
So. DirecTV. Nailed it. The Red Sox, obviously a team that you've been very high on for a long time. And it's like the minute that you made the 6-1 play on them to make the playoffs, they have been soaring.
Yeah, they haven't stopped winning. It's absolutely incredible.
It is actually pretty wild right now. Enter today's game against the White Sox, riding a seven-game win streak. They've won 30 of their last 35 games now. I mentioned this stat earlier, but it's still crazy to me, given that this is a franchise and an organization that dates back to the early 1900s when they were the Boston Americans. This is the best stretch that they've had in franchise history. And this team was just in, like, mid-June, little late June, June 24th. They were the second worst team in baseball, dead last in the AL East, 15 and a half games back, expected to be deadline sellers. Instead, they're buyers firmly in the wild card and now a game back of the Yankees for the second best record in the entire American League.
All right, two things. First off, what year was Boston established? Not the city, the franchise that plays baseball.
1908.
1901, very close. Good job. Second, For this team.
For a non-Bostonian, I feel like that's a good guess.
Sure. But I would say that, to your point, I think what's more incredible is not only were they buyers, the two pieces that they bought are on the injured list.
Yeah.
So, like, they continue to win, and all of a sudden, like, the lineup
is just
cranking out homers and looking pretty dominant, and they have yet to add the two pieces into the actual lineup itself. So I think we feel pretty confident that they're going to be a playoff team, up six in the wild card race. Don't think the collapse is coming. The pitching is good enough. They lead Major League for the season, a bullpen ERA. They're a top 10 team in starter ERA. There's really going to be no downfall there. It's just whether or not now the question is if they're good enough to win the American League. And I think with the pieces, one could argue that that is going to be the case. But you still got to win baseball games today. Going to be an interesting one. I mentioned this yesterday, the other night. You know, you settle in. I'm like, man, I'm super excited to watch the Red Sox. And then they just go out there and they blow the doors off the White Sox. And this has been a series for them. But now, what's interesting about this start is we get a really interesting piece. Luis Castillo is going to get his first start as a Chicago White Sox after getting traded from the Seattle Mariners. It has not really gone well. The career has kind of taken a downturn. Castillo, of course, a premier guy at one point, but be interested to see how he operates in new digs. And we'll have to ask Jensen Lewis about this when we get to talk to him again, only because I mentioned that, who was it? Yesterday was either way, it doesn't matter. The whole point is, you know, guys who have these really interesting home road splits, and if you're pitching well at home versus on the road, but then when you get traded, do we consider every start to be a road start for you if that's the case? But Castillo has been pretty even across the board. Just wonder what new digs will do for him in a new team. But either way, you're out in Boston, ERA over five away from home, his fielding independence well over 4.5. So it's actually like 5.37. Not a guy that I want to play on. Minus 180. That is a much better price. Yesterday, they were like $1.23, and asked the question of like, man, that seems like a trap almost, right? Like, it seems really cheap, and they get it done here. That is, I think, a more accurate price.
So yeah, -180 run total in this one, 9 is juiced slightly to the under, and -122. I will say, up on the website right now, VSiN.com, we have plenty of articles up right now. Adam Burke has his daily best bets, as does Greg Peterson, but Zach Cohen does a regular MLB props article, and he does like Ranger Suarez over 5.5 strikeouts for this game. Had 6 in 6 of his last 9 starts, also had at least 6 in 4 of his last 6 meetings with a bottom 10 strand rate team, and as Zach cites in the article, pairs well with the Chicago squad, 24.7% against lefties.
The aforementioned Greg Peterson likes the game under 9.
There you go. You mentioned,
speaking of the number 9, 3 less miles than what Greg usually runs every single day.
Every single day.
On the way to Texas.
How many days deep are we at this point?
I don't know. He's doing some like series of some kind. I got to say, the other day I watched one of his videos, and was he running? What area of the city was he running through? Like Naked City or something like that? And like in the video, I got to say, Greg, buddy, you got to get out more. He kept putting this in this video. He kept acting like he was in like a really scary part of town, when it was just like a bunch of dumpsters and like not much else. I was like, buddy, you got to get out a little bit more.
I haven't seen the video.
We could go to real scary parts of town.
I haven't seen the video. Yeah. I'll look it up.
He was like, there was like a cat, and he was like, I don't know about this.
Greg, come on, buddy. Come on. You mentioned, though, some of these pitchers and home road splits. Somebody that is significantly better at home than he is on the road is Bryce Miller for the Seattle Mariners. He hasn't given up more than 3 runs in any home start this season. 1.34 ERA at home compared to a 4.02 on the road today, facing the Tigers, who, despite, by the way, being sellers and losing Tarik Skubal and Casey Mize, have still won 4 of their last 5 games. They did fall to Seattle yesterday 4-2. Makeshift pitching staff going with Framber Valdez today. Anything stand out to you here? Seattle around a -120 favorite, Detroit +110.
That the Tigers are big fat losers. How could you when you're in this trade, this race of the American League, and you decide to give up? But Braxton Miller is going to be the focus, or excuse me, Bryce Miller is going to be the focus of our attention here. 2.80 ERA, 2.67 expected, 3.77 fielding independent. If you look recently, though, looking a little bit more mortal, he has allowed 4-plus earned runs in 2 out of his last 4 starts. He has sandwiched those in with a couple of pretty decent outings, but we've talked about Miller before. There's a couple of starts where I tried to back him and really just wasn't putting it together. So maybe this is just a case of a blip on the radar after a couple of starts, or maybe we're starting to see the mortality kind of come to fruition here for Bryce Miller. But either way, he is one that I've been burned by. We'll say this, though. At home so far this season, Miller has been almost untouchable. 33 and two-thirds innings, .134 ERA, .259 fielding independent. There's going to be a time to back him, potentially. It could be here against the hot-headed Framber Valdez, who we know can be all over the place when you have him out there. Last time we saw him 5 days ago, though, 7 innings, 2 earned runs, struck out 6 on the road against the Athletics. Pretty notable performance considering he's out there in Sacramento. And he has been a little bit more even-keeled in recent starts, Valdez has. So maybe you're starting to find something here. Prone to the crooked number here and there, but 3 out of his last 4, he's given up 2 earned runs or fewer. Maybe a play on the under, but Miller's numbers at home are so good, yeah, it's hard to look at -119 and say, man, I don't want that. It seems somewhat cheap given what he's done.
Well, and that's why I'll say the split again. You mentioned the 1.34 ERA at home compared to 4.02 on the road. It's a big difference. And even among those recent starts that you referenced, the 2 bomb ones where he gave up 5-plus runs were both on the road. They were not at home. It's a different dude for sure. How about Nationals-Phillies here real quickly? Christopher Sanchez going for Philly. They look to rebound from the extra inning loss yesterday to Washington. Took the first of 2 series looking to avoid the split.
Yeah, it was just the other thing that we've talked about in the last couple of days when you haven't been here is just the fact that this Nationals team offensively, like, maybe they're going to be dying for some offense. Yesterday, not the case when you played 11 in the top, or excuse me, 6 in the top of the 11th. But I would expect that this is going to be the theme. And obviously the Phillies are a very highly power-rated team considering what they did at the deadline, how good their pitching staff is, and what the start looks like here today. But I think this high price is more of a dynamic for the Nationals and what we'll see for them moving forward. You know, obviously Wood gets a little dinged up. You trade away Garcia, right? So now the offense isn't going to be as potent. And then the team as a whole, with the loss at pitching in the pitching staff too, I think we're going to see some really big prices against the Nationals. So maybe inherently there's some value in like taking over 3-1 with this group. And we know, as we have talked about many times before, Christopher here getting himself out of the National League Cy Young race, we think, with some pretty big blowups. So maybe you can't really trust what he's going to put out there, but hard to ignore the overall production for Sanchez.
Yeah, tough stretch for his standards by far in July. But the last time out was really good. Six innings of shutout ball against the Orioles, only allowed two hits, had 11 strikeouts in that performance as well. So you just wonder which version of Sanchez you should expect here. That said, given the way that the Nationals have performed recently, they entered today on a 7-game losing streak, lost 8 of their last 9 prior to yesterday's win. I feel like this is not the place that I would want to take them as a dog, just personally. Sure. Even the run line in this is minus 166 in favor of Philly.
Yeah, we say it all the time, right? Like, I feel like I want to test this theory, but I want a better, like, weapon, if you will, to test that theory with.
Okay, we got to step aside here on Money Moves, but when we come back to the National Football League, our training camp tour rolls on.
Who we got?
Today in Buffalo, talking all things Buffalo Bills. Stick around.